So we're studying the transforming difference that the Holy Spirit makes in the lives of believers. All right, that's where we are. Today, we're going to focus on a specific part of that. So is the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, in your life, leading you into holiness? That's today. So would you read the text with me? We're just going to look at three verses today, verses 12 through 14. The Bible says, Romans 8, verse 12, "So then, brothers, we are debtors. We are debtors. Not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." And that word sons, it can be inclusive of women as well. It's speaking of children of God. So there's the text. Do you see it? If you live this kind of way, you will die. Now everybody dies. So he's not talking about physical death. He's talking about judgment, eternal death, separation from God. If you live this kind of way, you're going to die and be judged. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If that's the only verse we had in the Bible, that would sound like we're saved by our works. That's not the only verse we have in the Bible. We have to read it in the context. For five chapters before, he said we're not saved by our works. So it can't mean that. And yet, it matters how we live. We're not saved by the way we live, brothers and sisters. But the way we live shows whether we're saved or not. It matters how we live. So I want to look just verse by verse, these three verses today. And the first is, verse 12, I want us to see, there we go. Christians owe all to God. Christians owe all to God. You see there in verse 12, he's drawing a conclusion from everything he's said so far. In light of the Holy Spirit at work in our life, to give us life, Paul says, "So then," do you see that? So then, it means therefore, it's connected. Let me teach you, always when you read and study the Bible, read the context. Trace the author's train of thought. Don't just pull a verse out. You can make it say whatever you want to that way. Be a good student of the Bible, amen? When he says, "So then," that means he's making a conclusion about what he just said. So then, in light of the Spirit's work in us, we are debtors. That's his conclusion. We are debtors. Let that hit you for a minute. You are a debtor, a beggar. You owe it to someone, to something. He says, we are debtors not to sin, and the implication is, but to God. This sounds like the, you know, most obvious statement in the world, but I want you to think for a moment with me this morning. Along this lines, we owe it to God to live for His glory. You and I owe it to God to live for His glory and not to live for sin. Just consider for a moment what God has done for us. He created us. You didn't create yourself. You didn't choose to be born. God Almighty gave you life. Amen? He created all things. Every breath we breathe comes from God. This is not your air that you're breathing. You didn't make it. Amen? You can't purchase it. You're breathing God's air. He supplies it for you. Amen? Little things we don't think about. And when our race rebelled against God in the garden, Adam and Eve, God crushed His Son on the cross in our place to give us forgiveness of sins and salvation. Jesus paid the price for our redemption. Think about what God has done for you. Freely, in love, He gave Himself for you. God has been kind to you. Has He not? God has been patient with you. Oh man. Long suffering. Merciful to us. The book of James says that every good gift comes down from the Father. Every blessing you've ever had in your entire life, God gave it to you. We are debtors. Not to sin, to live for the flesh. We are debtors to God. We owe it to live for His glory. He gives us life. Here in Romans 8, in the context, what we looked at last week, verse 10 and verse 11, He gives us His Spirit. He gives us spiritual life when we were dead in our sins. And even in verse 11, it looks ahead to the Spirit is going to raise us from the dead on the last day and give us new bodies so that we can live in the presence of God and enjoy Him forever on the new heavens and the new earth. We owe it to God. Man, if I told you, trust me, when you die, trust me, I'm going to bring you back to life. I mean, that's trust, right? To allow yourself to die, trusting that this person is going to bring you back. God has promised us that. We owe it to God to live for His glory. Wow. We owe Him everything, don't we? Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, they were engaging in some sexual sins in the church. Paul wanted to remind them of these things. He said in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own," he says. "For you were bought with a price. So, the conclusion, since you have the Holy Spirit, since God purchased you," what's the conclusion? "So glorify God in your body." It's my body, my choice, what I do with my body. Christians can't tell me what to do with my body. What does the Bible say? Who made your body? Wow. And as a believer, we have been purchased by the Lord, by the blood of Jesus. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. Therefore, we owe it to God to live for Him. How are you living, brothers and sisters? Do you see? Romans 8 is not just talking about God saving us and forgiving us, you know, up in heaven and live how you want to. I'll see you one day in glory. No, He gives us His Spirit. He is transforming us. We owe it to God to live for His glory. Paul said in another place to the church, "What do you have that you did not receive?" What a question that is. We need to read that question from time to time. What do you have that you didn't receive? Brothers and sisters, we were born naked. Were we not? What do you have that somebody didn't give you? Wow. You say, "No, I worked hard for what I have." Amen. Who gave you the physical strength to work that job? Who gave you the sanity to make the plan? Amen? Who gave you every faculty and resource you have? It is from God. Amen? The Lord has given us all that we have. We owe it to Him. So Paul, back here in verse 12, "So then, brothers, we are debtors." And then he says, "Not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh." Let me ask you this. What has the flesh done for you? What has sin done for you, brothers and sisters? We owe sin nothing. We have no allegiance to sin. Amen? God broke the chains from that master that ruled over us. Romans 6. That's what Paul has talked about. In verse 14, he says that sin will not have any dominion over us anymore because we're not under law, but we are under grace. You owe sin nothing. You owe the flesh, the nature that wants to rebel against God. You owe it nothing. But you owe God everything. Live for Him. That's what Paul is saying. Amen? Does that make sense so far? Believers are called to live for the Lord. Secondly, when we get to verse 13, he says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This is talking about how we live in this body from day to day. And he says, you know, we don't owe it to sin to live for sin. In verse 13, he explains what's going to happen. If you live a life of sin, you will die. And again, everybody physically dies, so he's talking about something worse than dying in your body. He's talking about spiritual death, separation from God. Way back up in verse 6, it said that to set the mind on the flesh is death. Do you see? To live in sin is flesh, and it ends in death. But a life following the Spirit, rejecting sin, describes the life of a true Christian. Guys, Paul is just telling us over and over again what a Christian looks like. We don't get to define what a Christian is. Christ defines what a Christian is. And so when we look at what we love, what our mind is set on, up there in verse 5 and 6, the mind set on the Spirit, that's evidence you're saved. When you think about God throughout the day. But if you live and you never think about God, your mind is set on the things of this world, the pleasures of this life, the treasure that you really have is not Christ, but it's on this earth, possessions and power and pleasures and comforts, then that is evidence of what road you are on. Paul is just putting two roads before us. Church, there's only two destinations. And the lifestyle we are living is evidence of which road we're on. So God, you know, has kind of given us one of those little slaps in the face this morning. He says, it's not a big mystery where you're headed. Look at your life. That is the evidence. If you are living this way, that tells you where you're going to end up. But if you are on this road, if you are setting your mind on the flesh, loving the, you know, sin and the things of this world, you're not putting sin to death, you're giving yourself to sin, then the Bible says you're just running as fast as you can towards hell. That's the two paths that Paul is giving us here. There's evidence for where you're headed. But there's another road, praise God, the road of killing sin by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. That's the road that leads to heaven. You said, I said that prayer when I was 5 years old. I prayed what that preacher told me to repeat after him. And then I live in sin now. But that preacher said, if I said that prayer and believed it with all my heart, I'd go to heaven. And that's not in the Bible. I prayed 1,000 prayers probably before I repented and believed the gospel. Amen. You can pray all day long and not repent of your sins, right? Did Jesus say, every head bowed, every eye closed, let's repeat this prayer to the crowds? No, he said, take up a cross and follow me. And that's evidence if you believe the gospel or not. Amen? That's what we're talking about. Now, yeah, you can repent while you're praying a prayer. You may have repeated a prayer after a preacher, but in your heart, you were believing the gospel and repenting of sins. Okay, that's the difference. Was the Holy Spirit bringing you to life or not? So, if you are living a life right now and you're at war with sin, that is evidence that you are on the road to be with the Lord. It's a road of self-denial, isn't it? It's a road of cross-embracing. It's a road of saying no to sinful desires moment by moment and saying yes to the things of God. The road of the mindset that is locked on the Lord, living for Him, loving Him, obeying Him in this world. That is the lifestyle that is evidence that we're born again. In verse 13, there are five truths about holy living. And they're quick. Let's look at them together. First of all, holy living is mandatory. Verse 9 taught us that all Christians have the Holy Spirit. You guys remember that? We read verse 9 for about 3 or 4 weeks there in a row, it seemed like. Paul says, if you're a Christian, then you have the Holy Spirit in you. He said, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, then you don't belong to Christ. So there's no such thing in the Bible as a Christian who doesn't have the Holy Spirit. That's the big evidence that you're saved. You have the Spirit of God in you. Well, now, in verse 13, he's telling us what the Spirit in us is always going to do. He's always going to transform our lives into holiness. And He's not going to do that overnight. He's not going to make us perfect yet, but He will lead us in progress. Amen? There will be progress. And sometimes your progress is two steps forward and one step back. I understand that. But if you have the Spirit, if you are saved, then the Holy Spirit is always going to be leading you into holy living. It's mandatory. What does Paul say in this verse? If you are living in sin, you will die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So it's mandatory. It's not a choice. It's not, hey, you're saved. Now you really ought to live for the Lord, but it doesn't matter. If a preacher told you that, I mean, run away from that. It matters how we live. It is fruit. And that brings us to the second thing. Holy living is a fruit of salvation. Paul is not saying that we are saving ourselves by holy living. It's the fruit. It's not the root. Again, for five chapters he said we're saved by faith, not works. So now when he tells us it matters how we live, we have to put that in context with what he's already said. It is a fruit of salvation if we are continually putting sin to death. Now I say continually. Look back down at verse 13, guys. Paul says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you, what? Put to death. In the Greek, the phrase put to death is in the continual sense, the present sense, tense. And so it means it's something we are continually doing. If by the Spirit of God in you, you are continually resisting sin and embracing holiness, you will live. In other words, this is the fruit of what a Christian looks like. If you, you know, follow me around, you might take a picture of me sinning. You will. But if you follow me around with a video camera, right, get the whole story, you're going to see me repenting when I sin. Amen. That's the difference. The progress is there. And so the fruit of salvation is holy living. Third, holy living is a work of the Spirit. He says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. In other words, holy living is not something you can do and accomplish in your own resources and strength. You cannot live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Have you learned that lesson yet? Have you learned to walk with the Spirit? Or are you trying to drag the Spirit where you want to go? He is under no obligation to follow you around. Amen? Or me, or whoever. So the Spirit is leading us. He says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This is a work that God does. Sanctification is a work that God is doing in us. But, having said that, the next one is, holy living requires our cooperation. Well, wait, preacher, you just said it's something God does in me. So I just sit back and do nothing and the Holy Spirit's going to make me holy. No. The Holy Spirit must do this, and He does it as we cooperate with Him. It's a dance. It's a cooperation. Look what He says. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. I mean, guys, we're just looking at it word by word, right? It's in the text. I'm not making it up. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. That means the life of a Christian is I am constantly killing sin in the strength of the Spirit in me. That's what a Christian looks like. If I'm giving myself to sin, I'm not fighting sin, I'm not resisting it, I'm giving myself to sin. There ain't no Spirit in that. There's no eternal life there. You're not born again. All right? Biblically speaking. So, it's the Spirit empowering me, but I am walking with Him. Now, I want to show you two scriptures in Philippians that bring this out, this dance between us and God. And these verses are so frustrating to a lot of people, because in one verse it says, you do it. And the next verse it says, but God does it. And it's both. All right, so let's look at Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and work for His good pleasure. Now, what would you think if it stopped after Therefore, my beloved, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, period. If Paul stopped there, wouldn't there be this crushing burden on us? Oh my goodness, I have to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. I can't do this. That's right, you can't. And so Paul added the next verse. For it is God who works in you. Well, what's God doing in me? He's working in us to do what? I'll make it simple for you. They both start with W. To will? Wait a second. You mean God is directing my will? I hope He is, or we're in trouble if He's not, right? God is working in us to will. That means He's creating the desire in us to want to live a holy life. God is making us want to live a holy life. If He didn't, we wouldn't want to. That's a grace from God. That's a we always run to sin. If God let go of me right now, no telling what sin I would be running to. God's grace, amen, transforms us and works in us. And so, the Bible is telling you that your job, your responsibility, is to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, putting sin to death daily. But the good news is, God is He is enabling that. He is working in you to will, that means to want it, and to work. He's giving you the empowerment to do this practically, day by day. You can walk in a holy way because the Spirit of God is in you, helping you will it and to work it out. Amen? So, holiness is something the Spirit does in us, but it requires our cooperation. We have to say yes. And we walk in Him. John Murray explains it this way. I thought this was a good quote. The activity of the believer is the evidence of the Spirit's activity. And the activity of the Spirit is the cause of the believer's activity. Alright, so the Spirit in me, that's evidence, right? The Spirit in me is the cause of my activity. So the Spirit is enabling me to put sin to death. And that leads us to the fifth thing in verse 13 about holy living. Listen to this. Holy living, what does it look like practically in your life? It is a war against sin. That's what verse 13 says. Read it again. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That means people who live in sin, no repentance, they're going to hell. They will die. But if by the Spirit you do what? Put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Commentators talk a lot about this. It's kind of confusing that he uses the word body right here. Normally Paul has been using the word flesh to talk about that sin nature. And so most commentators say Paul is not talking about the body as being evil right here. He's talking about our body as just the location of where the flesh can operate. So the body in Scripture is not evil. God is going to raise our bodies. Other religions don't really pay much attention to the body. You know, let's leave the body, we'll be reincarnated or this or that. But Christianity puts great value on the body. God is not just going to save your spirit. He's going to raise your body and give you a glorified body. You will serve God in the new heavens and new earth in a body. It's a resurrection. Because Jesus rose, we will rise. Amen? And so it matters what we do in our body. And so what we're to do is to put to death daily the deeds of sin that operate in our body. So a Christian's life, practically speaking, looks like a war on sin. Now, this is very important. So let's talk about this for a second. Douglas Moo, scholar, explains this. Our rescue from the realm of the flesh when we got saved, right? Our rescue from the realm of the flesh has not removed us from contact with the flesh or influence from the flesh. What he's saying is when you got born again, God didn't take you out of this sinful world yet. You come in contact with sin. Do you not? Even in your own body, right? And you and I are influenced by sin. Temptations pull against us. We are saved, but as long as we are in this broken world, in these bodies, we have to fight against sin on a daily basis. We can fight it or we can give in to it. But those who give in to it and stay given in to it, that's an evidence you're not saved. A Christian looks like someone who has gone to war. The war starts when you get born again. Life doesn't get easier when you become a Christian. It gets harder. Because before, you're riding with the devil. You're rolling. You're flowing in the course of this world. You're on the racetrack that's leading to hell. But when God saves you out of that, it's a narrow gate, a narrow road, and everybody else is running this way, and it's tempting to go with them. And you are fighting the flow. Right? You're going against what this world is saying. And God gives the enabling by His Spirit in us. It's perseverance. Amen? It's endurance. It's taking up a cross and following Jesus. That's why the Christian life is not always easy, contrary to what you may hear sometimes on TV. Sin must be put to death in our lives. There can be no peace with sin for the believer. We can't be okay with sin in our hearts and our lives. Listen, brothers and sisters, we are not to tolerate sin. We are not to justify our sin, rationalize our sin, or give ourselves to our sin. What do we do with sin? Sin must be identified in your heart. Now listen, I'm not talking about identifying the sin in your spouse. You're good at that. Or the sin in your neighbor or your coworker or your cousin or whoever. You must identify the sin in your life by the Spirit. Call it for the ugly thing it is. Don't water it down. It's not a mistake. It's a sin against the Holy God. Amen? There's no need in watering it down, polishing it up. God sees it for what it is. We got to deal with it. So identify the sin in your life. Call it for what it is. Does it have a biblical name? You know, sleeping around, it's fornication. It's committing sin against God, right? Call it for what it is. We must identify sin, call it for what it is. We must hate it like God hates it. There's a psalm that says, you who love the Lord, hate evil. You who love the Lord, hate evil. When the Holy Spirit comes in, He shows us what to love, but there's some things He shows us what to hate. And if we're loving what God hates, that's not going to work, is it? So we identify our sin, we call it for what it is, we hate it, we resist it, and we throw it out of our lives. Listen, next Sunday we're going to spend some more time in these verses. We're going to get a little more practical about what this looks like, and we're going to look at the example of Jesus who followed the Spirit and took up His cross. So we're going to dig in this a little more next Sunday. Today I just want to show you that this principle is true. If you're a Christian, you must put sin to death in your life. John Owen, the Puritan preacher, he wrote extensively on this one verse, Romans 8:13. Books, volumes on this one verse. And here's his famous statement from this. Are you ready for it? Be killing sin or sin will be killing you. That's what John Owen said. That's just Romans 8:13. Be killing. Notice that's the present tense, the continual. I showed you the Greek is a continual thing. John Owen noticed that, captured that. Be killing sin or what? He says if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. Sin will be killing you. Brothers and sisters, do you ever think about this? This is what your day-to-day Christian life looks like. We are loving Jesus. We are reading His Word. We are praying and walking in obedience. And by the Spirit, we are putting sin to death. When we get lax about putting sin to death, it's trouble in our hearts. And it's a matter of life and death. Because if you get lax in this area, and just sooner or later you're just on the road, just giving yourself to sin, you may prove that you were never really saved. So it is a serious thing. Jesus taught this same truth with equally radical language. What did Jesus say? If your eye causes you to sin, don't worry about it. God is forgiving. Is that what He said? If your eye causes you to sin, rip it out and throw it away from you. It's better to go to heaven one-eyed than to go into hell with both of your eyes. Did Jesus say that? I'm talking about Jesus, not this preacher, not some guy in a book. Jesus said, get serious about your sin. You say, but I prayed that prayer when I was a kid. All right, great. I'm glad you prayed a prayer when you were a kid. But now, are you born again? Get serious about sin. Be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. If your right hand causes you to sin, either one, right? Cut it off and throw it away from you. Jesus taught that. Now, of course, he's not talking about actually maiming your body. That won't save you. It's your heart that's the problem, and not the muscle that's beating there. It's the core of who you are, right? It's the factory inside that's producing the stuff that has to be changed. But what Jesus meant was, you can't go to heaven being lax and soft on the sin in your life. American Christianity doesn't ever talk about that. But Jesus and Paul thought it was pretty serious, so amen. Here we go. Listen, you can have peace with your sin and be at war with God, or you can have peace with God and make war against sin. But you can't have peace with sin and God. You can have peace with sin and live at war with God, or you can have peace with God and make war against your sin. But you can't have peace with both sin and God. Now, Paul is going to bring this home in verse 14. Christians owe everything to God. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For in Greek, it means because. It's connected. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, here's the deal with this verse. This is a verse people take out of context all the time. Normally, when someone quotes this verse to you, they're talking about charismatic experiences or being led by the Spirit in terms of guidance. Where will I go to college? What job will I take? Who should I get married to? What should I eat for lunch? I'm led by the Spirit. Have you met any people like that? I have. I've come across people that way. I'm so spiritual. I'm waiting on the Lord to tell me which sandwich to eat. Okay. It's good to have guidance from God, but that's not what Paul's talking about in this verse. Read all the commentaries. They all point that out. The word for connects it to the verse that came right behind it. What was the verse that came right behind it talking about? Going to war with sin. Oh, so what is the Spirit leading us to do in the context? The Spirit of God always leads the believer to go to war against the sin in their life. That's what Paul is teaching. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will always lead the Christian to go to war with the sin in our lives and to embrace holy living, which is Christ-likeness. We got to talk about this a second. So once we see that this verse is connected in the context, starts with for those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. The context is showing that Paul is teaching us that being led by the Spirit is into holiness and war against sin. These are the sons of God. In other words, that's how you know if you're saved, because the Holy Spirit is leading you to fight against the sin in your life every day and to obey God's word in the Bible and be holy. Not to save you, but because you're already saved. Right? These are the sons of God. Someone that says, I'm a son of God, I'm a child of God, but they give themselves to sin, they have no Holy Spirit in them. And they're not a believer. No transformation equals no Holy Spirit, and no Holy Spirit equals not a Christian. No transformation in your life equals no Holy Spirit in your life, and no Holy Spirit equals you're not a Christian. Verse 9, those who don't have the Spirit of Christ do not belong to Him. Do you see? Okay. So, if somebody asks you, how is the Spirit of God leading you lately? In one sense, all Christians should have the same answer. Someone says, how's the Spirit leading you lately? Well, if I'm a Christian, the Spirit is leading me to put my sin to death and embrace Christ-likeness. Which means, okay, this verse is teaching us that the Holy Spirit will never lead someone to commit sin. Oh, we need to hear that today. The Holy Spirit will never lead us to commit sin. He will always lead us to kill sin. But people say, well, I know the Bible says this is wrong, but the Spirit is leading me to do it anyway. God just wants me to be happy. And we think that He's called the happy Spirit. And, you know, it doesn't matter about holiness. It's whatever makes me happy in life. That's just what God wants for me. That is not Christianity. The Holy Spirit is His name. And He always leads us to obey God. He leads us in holiness. And when we come to something and it's against the Word of God, if the Spirit is in us, we always know which way He's going to lead on that one. Always in line with the Scripture. Because He wrote the Scripture. He's not schizophrenic. I know I said this was a sin, but you can do it. It'll make you happy. God cannot be opposed to Himself. It means that when we come to something we want to do and the Bible says no, it means we say, okay, Holy Spirit, I yield to You. I surrender to You because this is sin because You said it's sin. And if I continually do that and give my life to disobeying the Bible, I am opposing the Holy Spirit. And if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. In other words, if your life looks like this, I'm constantly lining up with the Scriptures because that's where the Holy Spirit is leading me. If your life looks like that, that's evidence that you're saved. Amen? The Spirit is leading us to war with sin. Oh man. What is the goal of the Holy Spirit in your life? What's the ultimate goal? Where's He leading us? Look at just a few verses down. We'll just read this today. Verse 29. Romans 8, 29. I think I have this up here. For those whom God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. What did God destine His people to be? Conformed, molded, transformed into the image of Jesus. That's where the Spirit is taking you. I don't know what He wants you to have for lunch. But I know that the ultimate goal of the Holy Spirit leading you and working in your life, He wants you to look like Jesus. And so what is He doing day by day in your life? He's cutting off everything that doesn't look like Jesus. He's transforming you. And your cooperation in that is yielding to Him. As you pray and read the Bible, the Spirit will lead you into Christ-likeness. And He will lead you to go to war with your sin, not to be okay with it, not to tolerate it, not to have peace with it, not to rationalize it, not to say, but it will be okay, but to put it to death. That's the road of life. That's the road of Christianity. Amen? Because God predestined us to be conformed to the image of Jesus. In order that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brothers who look just like Him. That's what Paul is teaching. As we follow the Holy Spirit into war with sin and the pursuit of Christ-likeness, we're proving that we're sons and daughters of God. That's who the sons of God are. That's who the children of God are. They are saying no to sin and yes to Scripture, yes to the leading of the Spirit. So, just conclusion here today. This is not about, I don't want you to leave here and say, I've got to try harder and do better. That's every other religion. Alright? The gospel does not start with what we do. The gospel starts with who we are. We must first be born again, then we can go live at war with sin. If you're not a Christian, you can't go to war with your sin. Because you're still in the realm of the flesh, of Adam, sin and death. Do you understand that? But when you are taken by God out of the realm of Adam and put in the sphere of the realm of Christ, and the Spirit is in you, now you have power. So go be who God has made you to be. You are spiritual, so go live according to the Spirit. You are holy, because He's called you apart from the world unto Himself. You are holy, so go pursue holiness. Be who God has made you to be. And so, the Spirit is at work in us to do this. So, just applying this today, what does this look like? This is the evidence of our lifestyle. What does your lifestyle look like? What is your attitude towards sin? These are clear signs of the road that we're on. And the question I want to ask everybody here today is, are we fighting sin in our life? I'm not asking if you're fighting sin in our nation. Are you fighting sin? We all want to be, you know, we can post things on Facebook about how America needs to get back to God all day long. But are we fighting sin in our hearts? Or are we tolerating it and living in it when no one's watching and all this kind of stuff? If the Spirit is in us, He will lead us to fight sin. The good news is that Jesus died for sinners and rose from the grave. He breaks chains of sin. Amen? He changes our hearts. So I would encourage everyone, come to Jesus in repentance and faith. Look to the cross where He bore your sins in His body. He died for you in love. This is the love of God. And rose from the grave. He gives His Spirit to us who believe, who will always lead us to pursue holiness and say no to some things in our lives. What is the Spirit leading you to say no to these days? That's a better question. What is the Spirit leading you? What aspect of Christ likeness is He pointing you? Because it's the same answer. How's the Spirit leading you? The big picture, it's the same answer. He's leading me to Christ likeness by having war on sin. But we're all different, and so it's going to look different in each of us, isn't it? The Spirit's going to be working on one sin in my life and another one in yours. Amen? But He knows us, and He won't stop till we all look like Jesus. So, if you're not a Christian today, look to the cross and be born again. Come confessing your sins to the Lord. But if you are a believer, I want to encourage you today. Be encouraged to walk in step with the Spirit and reject the sin in your life. Pursue holiness to the glory of God because you owe it to God to live for His glory. Amen? We are debtors, not to sin, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, we will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Let your deepest joy be rooted in God, not in this world. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You for the Scriptures. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. And this morning, Lord, You have brought this people to this place for this text of Scripture. And so we trust that You are sovereign, that You are in control, that none of us are here by accident today. But You are calling each of us to turn away from sin and to follow You. To take up the cross of self-denial and to give ourselves to Christ. Lord, we're thankful that Your Spirit is in us who believe. We couldn't live this life without You, Holy Spirit. Today, maybe some are becoming mindful that they've not been living at war with sin lately. Holy Spirit, bring them back. Put that hunger and thirst for God in their hearts, that desire for holiness. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would show us the things in our own lives that we need to put to death. Show us the sins in our body, in our lives. Show us the things that You're not okay with. We don't want to be okay with them if You're not. Lord, let the evidence of salvation be seen in what we love and how we live. Our mindset. God, we want to be a spiritual church. We want to be full of Your Spirit. Led by Your Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Putting to death the deeds of the body. And giving ourselves to Christ's likeness. for your glory. Because God, we owe it all to you. We are debtors, Lord. You have purchased us. You have created us. You have saved us. And you won't stop working in us till we shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Lord, hallelujah. We praise you today. Thank you, God, for this life that you've given us, this salvation in Christ. We owe you, Lord, and gladly we come to leave behind sin. Gladly we come, Lord, to take up the cross and follow Jesus. Gladly we come, Lord, to pursue Christ's likeness and be at war with sin and peace with God. Lord, as we sing and pray, would you speak specific things to us? Save those who are lost. Show them today that if their lifestyle looks like sin, they need to be saved. Oh God, encourage your believers in this place today. Let us walk in your Spirit, oh God. We surrender to you in Jesus' name.